Good morning. Welcome all to worship this morning. Good to be together at camp. We had about 20 of our folks at Sierra Bible Camp last week, and they're back in one piece, and we appreciate that and opportunity for them to go away and enjoy God's creation and be filled with the knowledge of God's Word and some good Christian fellowship in that camp environment. So welcome home. This evening's lesson is titled, The Heart of Healthy Relationships. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll discover four keys that are the heart of healthy relationships and share those with you. I look forward to sharing that at 6 p.m. this evening. If you haven't noticed, there's a couple of tables in the foyer back by the restrooms that are giveaway tables for today. We've been doing some cleaning out in the closets, and there's some stuff that needs to go bye-bye that we don't need in the congregation, but you may find a use for it in your home. Some of it's duplicates. We don't need two power punches, things of that nature. So if you have an opportunity to look a look at that, and feel free to remove those things and use them and enjoy them. This week, we get to celebrate the 4th of July. Now, when I was a kid, that was fireworks. And I spent an awful lot of my allowance and lawn earning money. You know, I used to mow lawns as a kid, that type of thing. I blew it up on the 4th of July. And I had no problem doing that. It's probably why I have bad hearing today. I enjoyed the fireworks. It was fun. But sometimes we forget what we're celebrating and forget the gratitude to God for what we have in freedoms in this country. So as we pause on the 4th of July, wherever you're doing, whatever you're at, and remember the blessings of God, let's pray for our nation. Prayer of thanksgiving. But also a prayer for God to guide us, guide our leaders. Let's bow together this morning. Father, we know that you work in the hands of men, the hearts of men. And I pray, Father, that you continue to bless and guide our nation and those who lead it. Father, in all areas of government, in all state and national levels, Father, our leaders need your help. I pray, Father, that you would be at work in their hearts. They would allow you to be at work in their hearts. And we thank you, Father, for your guidance and your providential care of our nation for many, many years. Thank you for the blessings of freedom we have in America. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing of that freedom that we have because there are men and women who serve in the armed forces to keep that freedom. Lord, we know ultimately all that depends upon you. And Father, we're grateful, and we pray that you would be at work among us and in us. In Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning I'd like to continue our lesson series in the book of Philippians on living the good life, living the good life. And today we'll be looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16 in just a moment. That's the passage that Stephen read earlier for you. The title is a little bit different. Facing forward leads to the good life. Facing forward. Let me tell you a story. My first car was a 66. Am I not on? Okay, evidently I have problems. Am I okay here? Okay. I guess I'm chained to the pulpit today. Sorry about that. Better than you being chained up here, right? Okay, all right, just in case, just want to make sure. My first car was a 66 Dodge Coronet. I was in college, I wanted a car. My dad said, I'll help you pick one out, but you got to pay for it, and you got to keep it up, and you got to insure it, and you got to put gas in it, and all that. I understood that, but I wanted my first car. So I went down and picked out a used car, a 66 Dodge Coronet. It was a 318. Now, for some of you younger guys, that's 318 cubic inch displacement of the engine. They didn't measure it in liters back then. 318 cubic inches. It was a four-door automatic transmission. Okay, it was a great college car. It wasn't a sports car, but it got me back and forth to college, and it kept me good for a few years. But when I was in graduate school, suddenly it gave up the ghost. I pulled into a gas station, filled it up with gas, turned it on, and it would no longer go frontwards. I'm not kidding. The transmission had frozen. And it was in reverse. And I tried it, and I could back up, but I could not go forward. Now, the good news is I only lived two blocks from the gas station. The bad news is there were two four-lane roads I had to go on to get to my apartment. So I very carefully backed the car out of the gas station, waited for traffic to clear as much as possible, looked around, hoping not to see any policemen. And I will confess, I backed that car two blocks to my apartment. I was facing the wrong way the whole time. And let me tell you something, it's a lot easier to drive looking through the windshield than through the rearview mirror. And that's what we're going to talk about in our lesson this morning. Read with me Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 16. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have been taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. I'd like to share some verses and some thoughts from you from this text about living life forward, looking at life through the windshield instead of the rearview mirror of life. Number one is we realize we have not yet arrived. We're not to the end of the earth. If you're here and you're still breathing, you are not to the end of your journey. Did you know that? Now, we don't know how long our journey is going to be. If we have a few hours, a few days, a few years, we don't know. But we do know this. We are not at our destination yet. We have not yet arrived. And Paul recognized that. He said, "Not that I have obtained all of this or have already been made perfect." Paul realized he was a work in progress. Did you know that? Paul realized he was on the road to Christian maturity, and the road to Christian maturity is a long one. We celebrate that we're not like we used to be, but we know we're not what we ought to be. Paul knew he was still that work in progress. None of us have arrived because we're still on this side of eternity. It's my opinion, our eternity, in eternity, our character is frozen in the state in which we died. So God gives us a lifetime to choose Him, to choose His will, to refine ourselves in His image, and then comes eternity. But what I understand of the Bible, there's no change after eternity. We are who we are. In a sense, we're frozen. Our character is frozen in time. This opportunity for growth and change is in this life. It's not in the next. And Paul knew that as long as he lived, he had not yet arrived. He was still open to growth and change. And so in you and I. And if this begs the question, if the Apostle Paul knew he hadn't yet arrived, where does that put me? I'm still on the road to improvement. I'm still on the road to growth. I don't know about you, but the biggest room in my house is the room for improvement. How about you? See, we're not really all that we ought to be yet. But we praise God we're not what we used to be. And if we're Christ, His blood covers us of our sin. The point is, God has growth plans for you and growth plans for me. Stay moldable and pliable within the potter's hands. And don't harden your heart and don't quench the Spirit's work. God is not through with you yet. Now, I do realize the older we get, the harder it is to change. I'm beginning to resemble that. I understand that. You see, when I was younger, it was a lot easier to change and to bend and to stretch. It's harder now. But I do want to let you know I can still do this. And I can still do a few things. I can still bend. I can still change. But you know, it's getting harder to do so. And my guess is you found that true in your life too. What's that mean for us? That means we need to be working on the change right now, what God wants from us. Because it's going to be harder next year than it is this year to make those changes that God wants from us. We're still in God's school. We're still willing to grow and to change and be molded. So keep on reading and meditate on the Bible. Even if you've read through it dozens of times, even if you can quote it, keep on praying, even if you've prayed thousands of prayers. Keep on worshiping, even if you know you must have heard that sermon somewhere before. And keep on serving. Keep on changing in your service and finding new avenues to serve. When we stop growing, we start dying. So live life looking forward to what God's going to do in you in the future and not just what He's done for you in the past. Change is still possible as long as you're living and you're breathing. And I think every one of us in here qualifies for that one. Verse 13. Paul says, forgetting what is behind. We live life looking forward when we forget what is living behind. Now, facing forward doesn't mean that we literally forget the past. It's not that we have some of this magical spiritual, you know, amnesia. That I wake up one day and I go, I don't remember 2016. And that's not what I'm talking about. Forgetting what is behind means I no longer let the past determine my present nor my future. We don't focus on the past. It's not that we've literally forgotten it. You see, when you're driving down the road, there's a little contraption mounted on your windshield that has a mirror in it. And that's called a rear view mirror. And by the way, if you're not a driver yet, you need to look in that mirror sometimes, but you'd better not look in that mirror all the time. You take a quick glance to see who's behind you. And every few seconds, you're looking at the traffic all around you. And part of that picture is who's behind you. But you don't do this and stare into that mirror. In the same way, we can take a glance at the past. We can remember the past. But we don't live in the past. We live facing forward. And the good life in Christ is found by facing forward, looking to the future and not just simply reflecting upon the past. So no matter what victories you've had in the past, face forward. No matter what mistakes and sins you've committed in the past, face forward. The point is that we live life best looking through the windshield and not the rearview mirror. Glance at the rearview mirror. Focus out front. Do you have a few regrets in life? Oh, I do. I bet you do too. If you've got a few years on you, I'll bet you wish you bought Microsoft stock 30 years ago. Or Amazon 20 years ago. Or that certain piece of property that was available in Vallejo however many years ago that's now four or five times the price. Don't expect to live life without regrets. You're going to have regrets. Paul's call is for us to not focus and fixate on that rearview mirror, but look forward through life and through the windshield about what God can do and will do and not where we've been. It's okay to reflect on the past and remember how God has carried you and blessed you. And it's okay to cherish some wonderful memories from the past. It's okay to visit the past. It's not okay to live in the past. Paul said, forgetting what is behind. Thirdly, we live life facing forward by straining on to what's before us. Verse 13. While we live in the present, Paul recognizes that we face the future. We face forward to the future. Straining forward, in the words of Paul, is this image of this man who's running a race or this woman who's running a race. And he or she is looking forward to that finish line. I don't know about you, but there's some physical activities I look forward to getting over. I want to be able to cut that tape. I want to run through that tape. I want it to end. I don't want some things to go on forever, do you? Straining forward what is ahead pictures that runner in the leaning forward position. We're exercising our effort toward the future. That's where we're heading. We aren't static. We're dynamic, moving toward our goal. We're forward thinking, motivated, focusing on the goal that's before us. In the context of Paul's writing, that straining toward what is ahead, the ahead must include heaven. Because Paul goes on to say, I press on to win the goal of the prize. If you lose heaven, you've lost it all. Now, I'm not saying you can't have physical goals, you can't have family goals, you can't have material goals. I'm just saying if you lose heaven, you've lost it all. What will a man give in exchange for a soul, Jesus said. Heaven matters more than our money, more than our pleasure, more than our jobs, even more than our families. But of course, we want our families to go to heaven with us. We sing the song sometimes, heaven holds all to me. because we're straining forward. We're here today because we want to worship God and because we want to be with Him in heaven. Amen? That's what's motivated you to come this morning, is you want to be closer to God. You want to be with Him. If you win heaven, you win it all. If you lose heaven, you've lost it all. But the context may be a little broader than that in verse 13 when he says, straining toward what is at hand. It may include more than just heaven, although as critical as heaven is. Paul wrote about from prison about his future, and his future was unsure. Straining forward to what ahead is his way to say, my life, I'm looking to be in the Lord's hands, and whatever he has for me, I'm going to do it. I'm not done with life yet. It reminds me what he said to the Galatians. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was straining to do God's work in his life. Paul wanted to magnify Christ in his life. Paul lived in the present, but he certainly didn't just live for the present. Number four. Facing forward means I press on to goal to win the prize. Verse 14. Did you know nobody becomes a Christian by accident? Nobody slips and falls into the baptistry and comes up a Christian. You know that? Faith and repentance is needed as well. That also means that shotgun baptisms don't work, folks. If a person doesn't have faith, doesn't have repentance, getting them wet just gets them wet. Paul's talking about perseverance. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. No accountable person's going to wake up in heaven and go, how in the world did I get here? We wake up in heaven, it's because we wanted to be there. And we've made the choice for Jesus in our life. We've made him Lord and Savior in our lives. We know why we're there. It's because of the blood of Jesus, but also because of our choice of him. God wants to be chosen, and we must persevere and press on toward the goal. He wants us to desire him. When I was in college, the dean made a speech about every semester. He called it his keeping on speech. He understood the psychology of college students. You know, you sign up for all these classes, and then you start trying to cut the corners a little bit. And his point is, you've got to be able to finish the race. You've got to persevere. You've got to be intentional. You've got to keep running the race. You've got to finish the semester if you want the credit. When I entered postgraduate studies, I was concerned if I had the smarts to be able to do that. And one of the orientation professors said it so well. He said, it takes more perspiration than inspiration. We've already screened you. All of you guys have enough inspiration. You got enough smarts to be here. The question about finishing your terminal degree will be dependent upon your perspiration. You got the inspiration. There were 17 members of my cohort. 17 members of the cohort finished. Because we all got on that squirrel cage wheel and we just ran for 3 years. And lo and behold, you come out with a degree. And that's the way life works. I believe that everyone who truly wants to be the Lord in heaven can be. Because they can be, because they will search for him and seek for him and find him through his word. I'm not saying that all will be saved. I simply believe all can be saved if they persevere in learning God's truth and being obedient to it. The Lord is patient to you, Peter wrote, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. One way we persevere is not to quench the spirit. Do your best to stay soft-hearted and pliable in the hands of God. Don't harden your heart. Press on to the goal is not about Herculean effort. It's about persistence. It's keeping your eye on the goal. It's continuing to run the race. Pressing on the goal is about keeping a humility that keeps our hearts open to God and dependent upon him. And we realize we stumble and fall and we fall short of the glory of God. We all sin. But we stay on that wheel of faith and we keep running that race. Because we want to persevere and we want to win that prize because nothing else matters in life. It's more than winning that prize. Perseverance is being pliable. Perseverance is being pliable. In the physical realm, we're pretty pliable when you're young. You know, when I was a kid, I'd do somersaults. Anybody ever do those? You know what I'm talking about, right? I don't even want to try it today. I don't know about you. I'm not that flexible. I did prove to you I can still touch my toes, but there's a limit to what I can do. As we get older, bending becomes a little more difficult, doesn't it? Being flexible becomes more difficult. We get stuck in our ways. Change becomes more difficult. Repentance becomes harder. Our hearts become sometimes harder. Somebody talk about the hardening of the arteries of the heart, spiritually speaking. The spiritual exercises of worship and meditation on the Word and prayer and Christian fellowship and Christian service keep our hearts more pliable to the will of God. Perseverance is listening and applying God's Spirit in our life. Perseverance is staying open to God, and it helps you face forward toward heaven. Number 5 this morning. Paul says in verse 16, "Let us live up to what we have already obtained." Facing forward is living up to what we already do. In other words, doing what we already know to do. You've already heard this one before, but you've heard about the country farmer who was visited by the young agricultural extension agent who said, "You know, sir, I can teach you to farm twice as well as you're farming right now. Just give me a while and I can teach you to do it twice as well." And he says, "Sonny, I already know how to do it twice as well as I'm doing it." And that's true for most of us in life. We know how to live better than we're living. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now let's be honest with ourselves. Our problem is not always the lack of knowledge. Our problem is the lack of implementation. Here's another example. For years, I've known I should floss my teeth every day. I've known that in my mind for a long time. But did I want to do it? No. Until I went to the dentist a few months ago, and the dentist said, "Mark, if you don't start flossing every day, you're going to lose your teeth." And I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, you're going to lose your teeth if you don't start flossing every day." Guess what I do every day now? Not because I really like it, but because I realize it's necessary. Most of us just need to know to do what we already know to do. Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer says it this way, beginning in verse 26. "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifices for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire that will consume the enemies of God." Those are heavy words. This doesn't mean we're going to live perfectly, because we're not. We're sinners. We're human. We're not going to be perfect. But when we persist in things that we consistently know are wrong and consistently do the same thing over and over again, is there any sacrifice for sin for that? No. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, yes. But there's no other sacrifice than the blood of Jesus. We know how to live facing forward, but for some reason we choose to do what we want to do. Maybe I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm stubborn. Maybe I'm just determined that my habit really isn't that harmful. But you know what? Just because my teeth were not rotten and fallen out didn't mean I didn't need to start flossing. And just because you don't see the results of the sin in your life doesn't mean you don't need to change the sin in your life, because the wages of sin is death. Payday is not always immediate. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's later. James chapter 4 says, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." That's very similar to what Paul says when he says, "Let us live up to what we've already obtained." Now there's an old-fashioned word you don't hear too much anymore, but you used to hear it in churches a lot: backsliding. Anyone heard of that? Some of you in the back will be glad to know that does not refer to the fact that you're on the back row. Just want to make that clear. That doesn't mean you're spiritually backsliding because you happen to be on the back row. Backsliding is a reversion, a return to the world, a spiritual regression. Now, I understand that spiritual growth is not always an even curve of growth. Sometimes it's kind of like this, right? I look at it kind of like investing in your soul. It's kind of like investing in the stock market. You have really good years and then you have some not so good years. You know what I'm talking about? But if the general path is not up, you've got a problem. We're not living up to what we've already obtained. We're beginning to backslide. We're into spiritual reversion. I might look at it this way if you use this as a stock market idea. We all go through maybe what we'll call spiritual corrections, like the stock market goes through little corrections. But we don't want to hit a depression, because the depression is that backsliding. That depression is when we lose our faith in God. It's when we turn our back on Him. When we say we're no longer going to run the Christian race. We're going to quit trusting in Him and being obedient to Him. Backsliding is that spiritual depression, not just a spiritual recession or stock market correction. Backsliding comes when we do a spiritual about face and turn our eyes off of Jesus and take our eyes off of heaven as the goal. In backsliding, what's really happened is we begin to look in the rearview mirror instead of the windshield of life. God wants us to live life facing forward, facing toward Him, facing toward the cross, facing toward the glory of heaven. Don't turn your back on Christ, because there's no spiritual hope outside of Him. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for the wisdom and the conviction of Your Word. Lord, we wish to honor You in all things, and we wish to live our lives having our eyes on Jesus, our eyes on eternity. Truly, Lord, that is the goal for which we subscribe. Sometimes, Father, we take our eyes off of You. Help us, Father, to put our gaze back on the cross and the goal of heaven. Help us not to be so caught up in the affairs of this world that we forget about the glory that is before us. Father, help us to forget the past in the sense that we are no longer encumbered by our mistakes or our victories of the past, but move forward to Your future for us. Bless us, Lord, to live in faith. Until we see You face to face. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Paul reminds us that living the good life is living facing forward toward the Lord. If you haven't yet made that decision to own Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repented of your sins, been buried with Him in baptism, we want you to make a choice for Jesus. We want you to be right with the Lord. We want you to do God's will in your life. Becoming a Christian is not the end of the journey. It's starting on the journey. Now, I realize you've got to know a few things about the gospel. I understand that. But if you know that God exists, that Jesus is His Son, Jesus died for your sins according to the Scriptures, He was resurrected by the power of God, and through the blood of Christ, your sins can be forgiven because He paid the price for those sins. And you need to live as a disciple of His, a learner of His, being under His control and His lordship, looking toward His glory, and being with Him forever. That's the essence of the gospel. And if you know that and are ready to submit your life to it, we want you to live facing forward toward Jesus and toward your future in Him. If you need to respond, do so. Let's stand together and let's sing.
I'm pressing on the upward way.